2 Timothy 3 verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I've said that today is the second Sunday in Advent, and the theme is the God who speaks. And I think it's quite a legitimate question to ask, how does God speak? How does God speak? And I want to suggest three ways in which God speaks. First of all, he speaks through his written word. Secondly, he speaks through his living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he speaks through the spoken word that we speak to others. The God who speaks, speaks through the written word. We've read about it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse particularly 16. He speaks through what we call the Bible, the Old Testament, 30 odd books, and the New Testament, 27, isn't it? I learnt it in Sunday school. You forget these things, don't you? But 39 books and 27 new, that's it. God speaks through his word. And what Paul says in speaking to a young man who is a Christian leader, Timothy, he says that the Bible is inspired. The Greek word that is used is that it is God-breathed. It is from God, and it is imparted to us by God. It's a very graphic expression, isn't it? God-breathed. We know that breath is vital, isn't it? If we don't have breath, we die. And Paul is saying to Timothy, the written word of God is absolutely vital for life. It is given by him, it is inspired by him, and it's life-bringing. So God speaks to us through his word. And the important thing is that we read it, isn't it? We cannot exist as Christians on simply hearing the scriptures read on a Sunday and expounded on a Sunday. We need to be reading God's word consistently, day by day. I remember as a little boy, just beginning to read, my mum, she did suffer. I used to crawl into bed because Dad went off to work very early. And I used to inflict on her reading the Bible to her, trying to make my way through the Bible. stumbling over words. You imagine waking up to a little boy reading the old authorized version, some passages that were pretty difficult. But I thank God that I was introduced to the Bible almost as soon as I started to speak. And I thank God that I was encouraged as a young Christian to read the scriptures daily. And I can say, I'm not boasting, but it's been part of my everyday routine to read God's word. Sometimes with the help of Bible reading notes, and there are a whole myriad of Bible reading notes from Scripture Union, Crusade for World Revival. You could go on. The Bible Reading Fellowship. There are so many Bible reading notes you can use. And I thank God that through the years I've fed on God's word, read it, thought about it, prayed about it, sought to put it into practice. Does God speak? Yes, he does. And he speaks through his word. If you feel as if he isn't speaking to you, are you reading scripture? Are you feasting on scripture? Are you holding to the promises of scripture? Are you being introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ through scripture? We can trust this book. It is the inspired, the God-breathed Word of God. It's in different kinds of genre, if I put it like that. There is poetry, there is prose, there is history, there is teaching. There are prophetic parts that thunder with very colourful imagery. It's a kind of volume of books, a library of books that can suit every taste, that can wing their message into every heart, the inspired word of God. And Paul goes on to say it has a tremendous influence. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It has a multi-layered approach to us. Sometimes when we read scripture, we find ourselves being taught. This is something we learn. Other times we read scripture and it challenges us. It gets us whole by the scruff of the neck and it kind of throttles us and says, you've got to get your life sorted out. It puts us right. Sometimes when we're going down the wrong road, it enables us to find the right way, to put us straight. And it trains us. It equips us. It enables us to be living God's way. And the aim of Scripture, the aim of the Bible, we see in verses 15 and 16, it is a twofold aim. First of all, the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The written word of God has this express aim, God's intention for it, as we open its pages and think about the themes, is to lead us into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to lead us to salvation. The Bible isn't just an information booklet. It isn't something we take or leave. It isn't an opinion. It is God's unveiling of himself through all sorts of events and peoples. And God wants us to come to know him and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. That's the aim of Scripture. That's its intention. That's why God wants us to open up the Scriptures, that we might be made wise to salvation. And the second purpose of Scripture, the second intention, is that in verse 17, the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible introduces us to Christ, brings us to faith in Christ, brings us into salvation, and then its aim is to equip us for service so that we can live for Jesus. This book is vital, isn't it? It's vital to introduce us to Jesus Christ and then to enable us to live for Jesus Christ. We are living in a world that is somehow, the Western world, the Western civilization is imploding, isn't it? Particularly at the moment in our country. I think when we watch television at the moment and we see our politicians, we see people who are panicking, who don't know where they're going. I mean, you can sometimes use the phrase headless chickens. And on Tuesday, one of the most crucial votes is going to take place. And everyone's saying that the government will lose that vote. But no one has an idea as to what the real end game is, the end result. We're living in this kind of world of confusion. And this book has so much to say about the way we should live and the purposes that God has for all of us. As a nation, we have turned our back on Scripture, haven't we? There are laws that have been introduced that we have felt very uncomfortable with. And there are laws that will be introduced that are being couched and committees are meeting about them that we shall feel even more uncomfortable about as Christians. We need to get hold of biblical truth, live by it ourselves, and try to introduce it to others. This is a handbook for life. We may not be readers. Some people aren't. I recognise that. But please, dear friends, read Scripture. It may help you. I quite often use an audio app on my phone to listen to Scripture being read and then a commentary on it. Nicky Gumbel does it. The Alpha course do it. And that can be quite helpful, you know, when you're sort of waking up in the morning just to have it playing. You can follow it in Scripture and listen to the ideas. Whatever way you do it. And if you're struggling, talk to others. Share your worries about how to get hold of Scripture, how to understand it. But please, get into this book. Feed upon it day by day. It's something that builds up and nurtures you and gives you strength so that when the storms come, when the wind blows, when the waves are buffeting your life, when you're swaying from one side to the other, you have a bedrock. You have something that holds you and keeps you. I don't want to be too personal, but I suppose an example is last night. My friend Brian phoned up. I've known Brian since I was minister at Lym in Cheshire, and his wife is really ill. And he just phoned up. We'd been emailing, but he just phoned up to say, Jen's going to have an operation. Will you? I'm phoning up my friends to pray. And I prayed with him on the phone. And first thing this morning, just before I came out, he phoned to say she's had the operation. She's still out for the count, but, you know, it's happened. And keep on praying. This is when you need Scripture. This is when you need the bedrock, don't you? Of all that you've read about, all that you've assimilated into your heart and life, all of that truth that you've lived for and lived by, that's when it sustains you. When you find that God is your rock, when you find that Christian fellowship really means something, people do pray. There is a God at work. God does speak through his written word. I'm not going to be very long now. He speaks through the living word. You remember in John's gospel, Jesus is described as the word of God. He is the expression of God. If you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus Christ. He is the living Word. He is the one to whom Scripture points. This written Word inspired by God brings to us the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word. Christ is the focus of Scripture. Christ is the very center of Scripture. You make sense of Scripture by looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. He is its absolute focal point. It wants to introduce us to the living Word. So God speaks through the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive. We read about him in the Gospels. We see him being expounded in all the letters. And we see him being King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, as the world winds to its end and Jesus Christ sits on the throne. It is possible to know the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives as the living Word, to know him walking with us, to know his presence with us, to know his love in our hearts. God speaks through the written Word, through the living Word, but he also speaks through the spoken Word. He speaks through preaching. He speaks as a very unworthy person seeks to open up the Scriptures and prayerfully bring the Word that God has given to him or to her. John Stott says, to preach is to open up the inspired text with such faithfulness and sensitivity that God's voice is heard and God's people obey him. That's the privilege, isn't it? And as a preacher, I'm passionate about preaching. I'm very worried that in our present day society, in our present day church, preaching has been devalued. There are not enough good preachers in this country. There are people who seem to apologise rather than preach. And it's to our detriment. It may appear to be an antiquated way of communication when you've got mobile phones, smartphones, when you've got all the other gimmicks for someone to stand in the front and talk. But God does use preaching to his glory. Michael Quick, who was principal at Spurgeon's a fair while ago now, he talked of preaching as forming Bible-shaped people. I think that's a lovely phrase. Forming Bible-shaped people. I can look back in my youth when I lived, obviously I'm a Londoner, I used to be able to go to Westminster Chapel and hear Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. You could go to Langham Place, hear John Stott. You could go to Keswick and hear some of the great Scottish preachers like Eric Alexander. A wonderful, rich inheritance. Wonderful. And thank God there are still those who preach powerfully today, and we thank God for them, and Keswick's still going strong. Preaching has a place. The spoken Word is important. Timothy is urged, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Preach the word, says Paul, in season and out of season. The spoken word is important. It worries me when I hear of services of worship where there's no preaching, where it gets crowded out by the worship. It worries me when we don't have proclamation of God's truth in the context of Christian worship. But the spoken word isn't just preaching. It's simply sharing the gospel where we are. If you look in the book of Acts, I've just picked out four illustrations of that. In Acts 18, it talks about a couple called Aquila and Priscilla. And if you look through that chapter, you'll find that time and time again, their home was used as a place where the gospel, the spoken word of God, was shared. You have in Acts 8, an Ethiopian, a black man, on his journey from Jerusalem to Gaza. He's got a scroll that contains Isaiah 53 in it. And he's reading this passage about a servant who suffered. And God sends Philip alongside this man. He goes up into the man's chariot. And the man says, can you explain to me what this passage is all about? And Philip talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection. And that man gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was baptized in an oasis. He made his journey onwards to Gaza, and Philip disappeared and went another way. A conversation that led to conversion. We have Cornelius in his home. We have Peter in his home. And Peter has a vision, and he's guided to go to Cornelius, and he leads Cornelius to Christ. You have a jailer who's got Paul in prison. There's a great earthquake. All the prisoners are set free. And he thinks this is it. He's going to top himself. He realizes his career is ended. And there's Paul. He hasn't even escaped. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your house. And that jailer came to Christ there and then and was baptized with his family as a witness to their faith in Jesus Christ. The power of the spoken word. Preaching, yes, but personal sharing of the gospel. That's a task all of us are involved in. We all of us have neighbours. We all of us have family members. We all of us have friends. We all of us have acquaintances. We all of us meet other people. And our responsibility is when God gives us the opportunity to share the gospel. Sometimes we have to be very patient. I've lived where I'm living 11 years. And it's taken me most of those years to really get to know a couple who live just a few yards away, Jake and Sandra. They knew I was a Baptist minister, but that was about it. But in the passage of time, things happen, don't they? And I've had opportunity to share with them, to pray with Sandra, for example, when she had a diagnosis of cancer. We have a responsibility to share the gospel. We can't leave it to other people. We each have a unique circle of friendship and acquaintances, don't we? And God is putting us in the centre of that, and we need to bring that spoken word, that word of testimony. Yes, God does speak. He speaks through the written word, the Bible. He speaks through the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks through our spoken word. As the gospel is preached and as we share the gospel with one another, God speaks. He is speaking. He will go on speaking. Thank God. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we do thank you that you have not deserted us or forgotten us. And we thank you for the ways in which you speak through your scriptures, through the Bible, through the Lord Jesus himself. And then use us in the power of the Holy Spirit to share your truth with others, whether it's by preaching or by gossiping the gospel and sharing it. Oh Lord, help us to have real confidence in the gospel. Forgive us that we've sometimes apologised, or we've doubted, or we've evaded the opportunity that you've given to us. Please give us a boldness to share your truth with others, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.